Namo myoho renge kyo. Hi friends, and you are all good friends. Thank you for your practice, for being here. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. We are in the midst of chapter 11, the appearance, the apparition of the seven-jeweled stupa. The ceremony, or the call it the ceremony, but it's important to remember that. But in this story, this is we've just experienced the levitation of the entire assembly. So the minds have been lifted, right? This is what we want to envision when we sit in front of our butsudan, our personal stupa of Buddhahood, containing this magnificent tool given to us by Nichiren of a pictorial representation through calligraphy of this ceremony in the air, where Buddha Shakyamuni and Buddha Taho, or abundant treasures, from the top of the seven-jeweled tower, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, is bestowing upon us, bequeathing to us, this ultimate of Buddhist teachings, the method to achieve the Dharma, the experience of Tathagata, yeah? So, as I've said, we've just gone into the air, and we've had this exchange between Shakyamuni Buddha and Taho Buddha, and the observance of the entire assembly. And now Shakyamuni is going to repeat this exchange and his teaching, rather, at this moment, in verse. The revered, honored, world-honored Lord, albeit for long extinct, and in his precious stupa, yet comes to hear the law. How then should anyone not be zealous for the law's sake? First exhortation, commit, get serious. Don't just play at this. This is the most important thing. If the Tathagata from the beginning of the cosmos manifests for you, but secondarily for you, because primarily here to hear this teaching. As you are hearing it, I mean, is that not worthy of your attention and respect? That's what he's saying, yes? This Buddha has been extinct for countless kalpas, yet in place after place he hears the law because of its rareness. Now understand something. He says this Buddha has been extinct, right? But what do we know about the difference between Tathagata and Buddha? Tathagata is never extinct. Tathagata is the cosmos itself. It's the engine of life. This is why I say, we don't have to look on other planets for life, for something that resembles human life, maybe, but that's an egotistical thing, that search. Because live or dead, quote-unquote, planet, it is life. Right? Death isn't the opposite of life. It's the opposite of birth. And birth, death are just this flipping coin within the whole cosmos of life, right? Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, moment, a moment, a moment, a moment, a moment. That's how everything, every phenomenon in the cosmos expresses its karmic energy potential. It's what you and I are doing right now. So that's Tathagata. But as Tathagata assumes in the realm of form, this human communicative sentient mind form, that's rare. That's super rare. So that's what he's saying here. If we decode it a little bit, and maybe the translations could better reflect that, but they don't. So you and I have to know this as we read, so we can understand the meaning of what has been translated here. 99% of these translators are not Buddhist. They're researchers, they're academics, right? The Buddha has made a vow. After my extinction, I will go anywhere forever to hear this law. That also has a secondary meaning. When you chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, do you not hear the law? Is your skanda of hearing consciousness not actively listening to the law? So, I will go anywhere forever to hear this law. When we chant, we are teaching ourselves the law. I say it again. We invoke our Buddhahood. Right then. How do we invoke our Buddhahood? Because our Buddhahood is just waiting to hear this truth, this law, this a priori engine of life. And when this Buddha hears this teaching being taught, your ears, what happens? Buddha arrives, long extinct, arrives where? In the Gohonzon mind, which that mandala is meant to reflect, help you open, see it in your mind, thus opening, like one of those sleep masks being peeled off of the Buddha eyes. And innumerable Buddhas emanated from my body as the sands of the Ganges have come to hear the law and to behold the extinct Tathagata abundant treasures. That's what that Buddha in you is, the Tathagata abundant treasures. What are the abundant treasures? Freaking enlightenment. So when you practice and enlighten your Buddha nature, open your Buddha eyes, you will radiate that life condition out and it will attract all those emanated Buddhas, are the Buddhas in other sentient minds, and they will be attracted to you. They will come to you, whether they are neighbors, strangers in the grocery store, in the supermarket, whatever you call it. I have had this experience, so I know this is how it works, because I've experienced it. And isn't that what Buddhism is? Knowledge through experience. Oh, Buddha knowledge? Buddha wisdom? What do you want to call it? It's the way our saha bodies and consciousnesses learn, through experience. Annotation. This Buddha, abundant treasures, would be the personage of the universal Buddha energy inherent in all phenomena. Extinct in the sense that as a component of all the formations that instantiate in the realms of form, Buddha is only a creative energy and not a thing formed. See Engine of Life in the book Buddhism Reference for more detailed information. Again, I not to sell the book to you, but my whole effort in Buddhism Reference and Volume 2 now being the combination of both Volume 1 and 2, everything continuously evolves, right? Was to make it a companion to your study so that you could know with some certainty that in our modern day, these words mean this. You may run into these same terms and words in Hinayana or other sects of Buddhism, but they will use them differently due to the limitation of their scope, right? Like we've learned here in the Lotus, those who've been practicing Sravaka, Pratyekabuddha, Arhat have been practicing with the goal of achieving an intermediary nirvana, not complete perfect enlightenment. They simply agreed amongst themselves that that was unattainable. And knowing that, rather than have them quit, Shakyamuni gave them an interim goal to stay with it, hoping that it would come to them on its on their own. It didn't. So with this last 8 years of his life, he's bursting that bubble and going, okay, you've grown attached to these old traditional aberrations. Let's break through this. And it'll make sense because you've learned so much by now. This should just slip right into your mind as, oh yeah, what an idiot I've been. Right? So here we are. Each leaving his wonderful land and his host of disciples, universal realms of influence, men and dragons, all of their offerings, has come here to this place so that the law may long abide. In order to seat these Buddhas, my transcendent powers, I have removed innumerable beings and cleared my domain, the domain where this Myoho Renge Kyo is being taught. The Buddhas, one by one, have arrived under the jeweled trees, as lotus flowers adorn a clear and cool pool. Under those jeweled trees, on the lion thrones, the Buddhas are seated, brilliant and resplendent, as in the darkness of night, great torches gleam. From them proceeds a pleasing fragrance spreading afar over the lands. All beings perfumed thereby are beside themselves with joy. It is just as when a great wind blows over the fragrant bushes. By this expedient, I cause the law long to abide. The expedient being the delivery to so many Buddha minds. To this great assembly I say, after my extinction, whoever is able to guard and keep, read and recite this sutra, let him before the Buddha himself declare his vow. Which we do with Namu. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Every Daimoku. Nichiren, brilliant. Brilliant distiller. Compression of all the teachings for a modern era where we used to call it IG when I worked in retail. Immediate gratification. If we do something and we don't get a payoff right away, maybe later. We get lazy super fast. Right? Everyone today in all spheres of life has a patience about the length of a finger. It takes no time at all for us to get bored or disinterested or move on to the next thing. Squirrel, right? Really difficult in this day and age to maintain focus. So Nichiren knows this. He gives us a mandala for us to stare at. He gives us something to remember, seven jewels, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, got to get those in order, got to say them right, got to repeat, got to keep this rhythm. Oh, my body, my lungs, my tongue, my eyes, my ears, everything gets involved. Wait a minute, where'd the monkeys go? They don't have a way in. Oh, I still have little thoughts going, oh, stare on Myoho. Myoho Renge Kyo, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Right? Get focus. What your immediate gratification is just being able to do it. And then comes this change, this feeling. But there's something, and it keeps you going. And then you notice things outside of yourself, not really, but it, right? Samsara, Saha world. If I'm not tasting it, touching it, then it's not me, it's something else. Bull crap. Everything is you. Everything. Anyway, not going to sing. So Nichiren made this so, So easy for us. Moving on. This I say to the assembly, after my extinction, whoever is able to guard, keep, read, recite this sutra, let him before the Buddha himself declare his vow. The Buddha abundant treasures, albeit extinct for long, by reason of his great vow, will sound forth the lion's roar. The Buddha's voice, yes? Let the Tathagata abundant treasures, and also me, myself, and my assembly of emanated Buddhas know this resolve. Of all my Buddha sons, let him who is able to protect the law sound forth a great vow to make it long abide. He who is able to protect the law of this sutra will be deemed to have revered me and abundant treasures, this Buddha abundant treasures, who abides in the precious stupa and ever wanders everywhere for the sake of this sutra. He will moreover have revered all my emanated Buddhas here, who adorn and make resplendent all the worlds. When we take a responsibility for our enlightenment, we abide, we revere, we include all other minds. This is what I mean when the self becomes immense. If he teaches the sutra, then he is deemed to have seen me and the Tathagata abundant treasures, also my emanated Buddhas, all my good sons and daughters. Let each carefully ponder that. The immensity of it, the grandeur of it, yeah? This is a difficult task, needing the taking of a great vow. All the other sutras, numerous as the sands of the Ganges, though one expounded them, it still could not be counted difficult or hard, it says here. If one took up Sumeru and hurled it to another region of numberless Buddha lands, neither that would be hard. If one with his toes to move a great thousandfold world and hurl it afar onto another land, that also would not be hard. If one standing on the summit of all beings were to expound to all beings the countless other sutras, that also would not be hard. What are you talking about? But if one, after the Buddha's extinction, in the midst of a deluded and erroneous world, is able to teach this sutra, this indeed is hard. Oh, you're saying in comparison. Oh, wow, that's, yeah, I really need to ponder my dedication, yeah? Though there be a man who, or woman, who grasps the sky in his hand and wanders about with it, that is still not hard. Okay, I think we get it. But after my extinction, whether himself to copy and keep or cause another to copy it, that indeed is hard. If one took the great earth, put it on his toenail, and ascended to the Brahma heaven, that will still not be hard. But after the Buddha's extinction, in the midst of a deluded and erroneous world, to read aloud this sutra but for a moment, that indeed will be hard. Though one in the final conflagration carried a load of dry hay and entered it unseared, that would still not be hard. So there's great fire, and you strap a bunch of hay to you, and you run through the great fire and come out the other side unscathed. Seems rather impossible, doesn't it? Yeah, that would be hard. But compared to really revering, holding on to, staying the course with this teaching, It's hard. That's why I'm always congratulating you and gratified at your effort. I know it's hard. I'm doing it. I know it's hard. I've been doing this over 40 years. Yeah. It's been really tough at times. But the result is always there. Almost annoyingly. But after my extinction, he says, if anyone keeps this sutra and proclaims it, but to one person, just one person. Now, of course, it's radiating out and affecting others. But if you endeavor to just help one person discover this path, this teaching for themselves and assist them, encourage them, right? Inspire for them to aspire. That indeed will be hard. Not only because it's hard to figure out how to do it, but because of the changes and expansions that occur in you that you don't expect. When you work on yourself, you know. But when you work on helping others, there are parts of yourself that you did not know. But you will now. That's what we mean by Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, perfect and complete enlightenment. If one could keep the 84,000 sections of the law, that's interesting. It is said that all living beings have 84,000 faults. So the Buddha taught the same number of laws or remedies. That's interesting. I don't think I've read that before. Anyway, 84,000, pretty big number. To keep these, and the 12 divisions of sutras, there's a button on threefoldlotus.com on the course study materials page, 12 divisions, so you know what that is. They're all different ways of teaching. Expounded them to others and caused those who heard to gain the 6 transcendent powers. Though he had such power as this, that would still not be hard. Not as hard as promulgating Nichiren's doctrine, Lotus Sutra Buddhism, because that's how profound this Buddhism is. It's difficult to not only expose people to it, but to encourage them along. It's difficult. But after my extinction, if anyone hears and receives this sutra and inquires into its meaning, that indeed will be hard. Congratulations, that's what we're doing right now. If one could teach the law and cause thousands, myriads, kotas, countless, innumerable beings, as many as the sands of the Ganges, to become bodhisattvas and perfect the 6 transcendent powers, even to confer such a benefit as this would still not be hard. Holy crap. Starting to discourage me, Shakyamuni, careful. But after my extinction, if anyone is able to keep such a sutra as this, that will indeed be hard. Oh, okay, bringing it home. Okay. I, on account of the Buddha way, in innumerable lands from the beginning until now, have widely taught many sutras. But amongst them all, this sutra is the chief. How many times has Nichiren quoted that piece of text, yeah? And if anyone is able to keep it, then he keeps the Buddha's body. We've talked about the 3 bodies of Buddha, haven't we? It's also in Buddhism reference. Plug. All my good sons and daughters, let him who, after my extinction, is able to receive and keep, read, and recite this sutra, now, in the presence of the Buddha, announce his own vow. Who among you feels you can muster the dedication, the resolve to do what I've just been telling you? This sutra is so difficult to keep. If anyone keeps it a short time, I shall be pleased, and so will all the Buddhas. Such a one as this will be praised by all the Buddhas. Oh, he's relaxing the requirement a little bit. Obviously for the same reason as he had a provisional nirvana, right? Doesn't want you to go, oh, maybe I can't. No, he wants you to go, well, even if you do it a little bit, we're all super proud of you. We'll support you. Because he knows that once you find the benefit that comes from this practice, you won't drop it. You'll keep going. Such a one is brave. Such a one is zealous. Right? Single-minded. Such a one is named law keeper. And dutta, observer. This is what I'm always saying. This is our purpose on earth, to be observers of the engine of life. And to be observers of the engine of life is to share it with everyone we encounter. Right? Just like people go running into the desert to see an eclipse. Speedily shall he attain the Supreme Buddha way. He who in coming generations can read and keep this sutra is truly a Buddha son, dwelling in the stage of pure goodness. After the Buddha's extinction, he who can expound its meaning will be the eye of the world for universal realms of influence and men and women. He who, in the final age of fear and decay, can teach it even for a moment by all universal realms of influence and men will be revered. Interesting. The footnote says current, you know, that's one of my favorite translations of the Lotus Sutra. It's only 27 chapters, and I'm not sure they're the same chapters. Most of them are. I think one of them is an optional one. It's from the late 1800s. And so you can hear the Queen's Christianity, the Church of England come through him as he translates everything. But it doesn't matter, because if you can just let go of the charisma of those damn words, you'll see his enthusiasm and his attempt to capture in the language that he knows the words of the Lotus Sutra. It's pretty wild. It's pretty amazing, actually. But the note here says, for Kern, the title of this chapter is Apparition of a Stupa, which I obviously adopted. And the Chinese for Kern's apparition can be translated as manifestation or revelation. Manifestation or revelation in the mandala, yeah? So you see, even the translators know that the translation is fluid. But the word is generally interpreted as meaning beholding. We are beholding the jeweled stupa. So when you go to your butsudan, do you behold the mandala of your Gohonzon mind within the protective housing of the stupa, your butsudan? All right, so I have a one paragraph that's just a footnote or an annotation from me. What a tour de force is this chapter. First, the inconceivable number of entities present at this relatively small mountain peak is obvious hyperbole and meant to break the samsaric mind of space and time in order to fully liberate the mental faculties of the human mind to perceive the immensity of the moment. Also, and actually quite practical, is the fact that all are floating in space themselves and not anchored to the ground. The use of the 10 directions and other lands also invokes not only the broader world, but that of the entire cosmos. In this one chapter, there is an enumeration of the universal Buddha to be flushed out in the 16th chapter, the stupa, butsudan, of the home of the a priori law, the seven precious jewels, namu, myoho, renge, and kyo, the practice of invocation of the law with offerings at the altar of this stupa, and all the main characters to be captured by Nichiren in his representation via mandala. All in this one brief 11th chapter of the Lotus Sutra. Very important to we followers of Nichiren's doctrine, yes? That ends the fourth facile, and then we begin the 12th chapter, Devadatta, Renge, and the Enlightenment of Women. That, another juicy chapter, but we'll leave that till the next video. Thank you for listening, for participating, and of all things, for your practice. And for our Sangha, for this resource, for propagation, your support. Even the few seconds it takes to like and subscribe, help jostle the algorithm to make this, to make our resource here more locatable, yeah? Those of you who are buying ebooks, and I know many of you are, or print books, your part of your purchase does lend some financial support. Mandalas, not much. I want to make this information as available as I can, and a lot of the cost is just print cost and that. And of course, if you're buying print books, you can see the cost of printing and shipping on top of it. So I think that's why a lot of ebooks are being purchased. But thank you. And then there are you, the few of you who are patrons, who every month inject some much needed funds into this endeavor. You guys are awesome. And I couldn't do this without you guys. So all of you, thank you so much. The links are in the description as always. Keep your practice strong. Do the best you can with your health. It's so important. And I will see you next time. All right. Bye for now.